Okay, good morning. We're Masech Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Bet, and we're starting on the Amud, first line, new Mishnah. Dedicate this shiur, which has been broadcast from Memphis, Tennessee, as of last night. Please God, we're back in Israel soon. To everyone who's died in this war, to civilians and to soldiers, to all the Pesuim, Chatufim, we mentioned Matan Shachar Ben Anat, the last survivor of the Peretz tank. And everyone should have a good for the neshama and for shleima and besorot tovot. Okay, so the Mishnah starts. We carry on with the thread of our mafkid, so depositing everything. So far, it's quite interesting. If you look at the Mishnahs from the beginning of the Perek, so we started off on Lamed Gimel. Where was it? Lamed Gimel. Yes, hamafkid as chaver behema. So we started off with behema. Then we had yesterday. We had the Mishnahs as well, where we had Mafkid, we had Mem, we had Payoff. And then on Mem Aleph, which was yesterday, Payoff was on Mem, and then today we've got Mafkid Maot. Now we've come to money. Okay, so now you're talking about a banker, or a money changer, or somebody, or a friend looking after money for you. So mafkid mal as a chaveru. So now we've seen this Mishnah before. We saw Lamed Vav. We've seen it a couple of times, this idea of throwing the money behind your back and giving it to your mother, not your mother, to your children or your wife to look after. We'll see an interesting take on that. I think when we turn over the Amud. So mafkid mal as a chaveru. You give your friend money to look after for you. Tzareran liv shilan la'achorav. So if he wrapped it up and threw it over his back, you know, like Tom Sawyer, right? Over his back, carries it like that. That's not considered a very safe way of doing things. Rashi says, "Besudaro v'ivshlan lacharav," in his cloak or in a bag and puts it over his back. Or shemashran lebeno lebituak tanim, or gives it to his young children to look after. Or I'm adding the oya myself. V'na'al b'ifneim shelo kraui, and he never locked it up properly. Right? In all these cases, chayiv gets lost. Why? Shelo shamar kederech hashomim. He never did what the average normal responsible shomer does, right? He was irresponsible in what he does. So that's the Mishnah. But im shimer kederech hashomrim, but if he did, right, and look after the way that the shomrim look after things, then it seems that even if he had done all these things, right, he'd still be patur. Now it's clear. I think maybe it's not clear. I think Asur Rabbeinu Chananel says it. And we're speaking here about a Shomer Chinam. Okay? We're talking here about a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar. I think Asur Rabbeinu Chananel mentioned it. I don't know why I didn't mark it, but I'm almost sure Asur Rabbeinu Chananel mentioned it. And we're speaking here about a Shomer Chinam. And therefore, remember a Shomer Chinam is part from Gneva Vaveda, is only really chayiv in Pshia. Okay? Yeah. So in other words, if he wasn't a Poshaya, he'd be patu. And that's why if he didn't do it properly, that's called a Poshaya. If he did it, if he looked after things in the normal way of a Shomer, that's not called a Poshaya, and he is patu. Okay, so the Gemara is like, Bishlom Akulu Shloshim Ekdech HaShomrim, understand that he's chayiv, if he didn't do things the way that he should have done things. Elet Saran Yivshlan Lachorav, but if he wrapped it up and threw it over his back, what was he meant to do? Why is that called negligence? Right? Look, Rashi, right? Saran, he tied it up. What's the big deal? What was he meant to do? So I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak said, we're going to see a couple of Rabbi Yitzchaks. We're going to see some nice, famous quotes coming up of Rabbi Yitzchak. In fact, honestly, keep a pen and paper, and a lot of these things, this is the Makorot, you write them down. So the first one over here says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm not going to pass what it says, V'tzarta keseh b'yadecha. Right, the Mitzvah Kesef Biyadecha. This is with Maaseh Sheni, I think, right? Mitzvah Kesef Biyadecha. Ve'chalt makom ashiv charke ve'elachta. Right, you take your Maaseh Sheni money up to Yerushalayim. So yeah, you wrap it up in your Vitzarta. What's the pasuk say? Vitzarta Kesef. And where do you keep it once it's wrapped up? Biyadecha. Even though it's wrapped up and it's nicely packed in a wallet and secured, it's got to be in your hands. Says Avishet Sorerin, you be adecha. That's how you look after money. You keep it with you on your hands. You don't throw it in the back of you, in your backpack. What's that one? Oh, I thought you said something.
matter, it says it's not necessarily that it has to be in your hand, as long as you can see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're meant to be walking, holding it. I'm saying, that's why I said not in your backpack, right? Not behind you, where you got no control. Thank you. Rabbi Yitzchak, that's the first thing. While we're on Rabbi Yitzchak, Yitzchak says a couple of things here. Rabbi Yitzchak, lola miye kaspos adam matzui biyado. This is the word I think that you're referring to, right? He says, matzui biyado, or any matzui biyado, be available at your disposal. Money you should have liquid cash. Look at Rashi, but why? Says lo yafkiru lacher b'akom acher. Don't leave it with other people in another place. Shim tizdamen lo zchora l'sachar yemezuman lo. If suddenly a good deal presents itself, and you haven't got the money at hand, you lose the deal, right? So keep a bit of money on hand. Shneimar v'tzar from the same pasuk, you learn it as well. It says v'tzar ta kesef yadecha. Was have money at disposal. Third one, Amar Yitzchak. Lolam, there was a bank in South Africa, literally slipped my mind. It was so clear to me, I forgot what it was called. There was a bank in South Africa, this used to be their motto. In fact, Gary Player, who was a famous golfer, he used to advertise for this bank. Think of its name. But this is the Macor for it. They had three pillars of investment. They had property, they had equity, and cash. That's what they used to advertise. There are three pillars of investment. Come, Cliff, you remember what I'm talking about? What was it called? Or like a waspy sort of name?
Like Medford.
Not investing. Before investing days. No, Kevin, man, you remember? Not Afrikaans bank. No, it wasn't Herb one of those. Anyway, I'll think about it.
Oh,
mutual. No, I think it wasn't. It was like an investment bank. Amar Yitzchak. It says, Golami Yashlisha Damit Baotab. So as your money should be split up into three different investment categories. Shlish bakarka, one third of it should be in immovables, fixed properties. The shlish bapragmatia, yeah, they're talking about like in business dealings, but you could say also in stocks. The shlish tachat yado, and one in cash. One third cash. Look at Rashi. The shlish tachat yado, again, it's literary. Okay, that's the third Rabbi Yitzchak. Another Amar Yitzchak, this is a very important one. This Gemara, we saw this Gemara already in Tanit as well. Rabbi Amar Yitzchak, Ein habracha mitzuya ele badavar hasamui min ha'ayin. Brocha comes from things that the eye can't see. When the eye can see something, it prevents brocha. Things are hidden from the eye, that's where there's brocha. And where do we learn the Shneimar? Yetzav Hashem itcha et habracha ba'asamecha. Right? Yetzav Hashem itcha et habracha ba'asamecha. What's asamecha? Asamecha, like the granaries or the storehouses, but it also is a play on the words, right? From Samui, the ayin is Samui, hidden. And now listen to the son of Ishmael. The bride says this straight out, that the eye doesn't see. If you can't see, look at Rashi. Where's the Rashi? Hidden away. The writer says on the basis of that, when you walk into your storeroom, right, you now take stock. You're going to count your crop and see how well you did for the season. So before you walk in, you say, Omer, you're at home with Hashem Elokeinu, which is your Hashem God, Shetishlach bracha b'maseh adeinu. Send bracha to b'maseh adeinu. Okay, that's before you walk in. Then, itchil yamod, you start counting. Omer Baruch Hashaleach Bracha beBekeri Azeh. Say thank God who sent Bracha to this pile. Madad v'Chakim. If after you already counted and then you be Reich, Harazeh Tfilat Shav. That's a waste of time. Once you've counted, God can't make the Bracha. I mean, can if He wants to, but I mean, once you've counted, you got the number. You've taken stock. Well, now He's going to quickly. That's magic. You know, before you counted, you got to ask for the Bracha because anything can happen. He says, while if Yishayin Bracha Mitzuya. And there's a very, I'm honestly write these things down. Famous quote. Fishana bracha mitzvah, the bracha doesn't rest where? Lobot avar shakul, has already been weighed. Lobot avar mudut, has already been measured. Lobot avar manus, has already been counted. Elebet avar asamui min ha'ayin. There's an Indian, you don't always count your money. Leave your money, or get the cash in the box, and just oven. Miracles can happen. You could suddenly, you thought you had 100,000, you open up and there's 300,000. But if you're counting it every day, what can you do? You know all the time what it is. Okay, so that is why you shouldn't have it behind your back. All these things of money should be. I suppose when you look at somebody else's money, you aren't relying on brocha, right? You got to act correctly. So therefore, keep it at that you can always have your eye over it, not over the back, or you got no control. got a bit sidetracked there because of the Osamecha. Then Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says now, Ksafim and them Shmuel Bakarka. So when someone brings you money and you're looking after the money, what is, where should you keep the money? Bury it in the ground. Right? Look at Rashi. Because if you don't steal it, and it gets, if you don't hide it properly and it gets stolen, and you're a poshaya, that's pshia. So therefore, in order not to be chayav for pshia, right, make sure that you hide the money properly. And where's the place to put the money? You put the money under the ground, in the floor. So says Amar Rav, Umar Yishmuah, Eba Be'er Shabbos, Be'er Nashmashot, Lo Yitrachu Rabbanan. But if the money arrived, Erev Shabbos, you have to go start digging, so you got time, Erev Shabbos, keep the money. Avavi Shaha, Lemotzei Shabbos, Shiur Mekravinu, Lo Kavinu Mechayba. If after Shabbos, Bichdei Sheyase, right, somebody had Shabbos, if you waited long enough after Shabbos, you could have buried it, you didn't bury it, you had time to bury it, you didn't bury it, in that time it got stolen, you chayev. You can't say, what do you want? I meant to bury it. No, when Shabbos comes out, go bury it. It takes you half an hour to bury it. And you didn't do it half an hour later. It's still with you and you get stolen, you're responsible. Whoever says the Gemara, if the guy who brought in the money... Yes, yes. Well, we'll see in a moment. The Gemara's going to move with the times. We'll see. We're going to get there. The guy who brought in the money... What does it mean to Rabbanan? In Talmud Rashi says that Mafki, the guy brought in the money, Shu Chared al mitzvah of Dor Lakos. Interesting, right? We learned in Tzurba about mitzvah Lakos, when they got rich. So in Tzurba we saw that in times of Chazal, it changed over history. When Am Yisrael were rich, they made Avdolah on a course, and they made Avdolah in their tefillah. When they got poor, they stopped making it on a course, so they made it in their tefillah. When they got rich again, they made it on the course as well. Here, Rashi says that what's the chilush of a Tzurba Rabbanan? That he's makpid, he's particular about making Havdalah on a kos. It seems like Rashi telling us that at that time in Chazal, in the Gemara, not everybody made Havdalah on the kos, which we know from historically, right, that there weren't times, when Am Yisrael were poor, they didn't make Havdalah on a kos. But I suppose even when the times when the average person might have made Havdalah on a kos, you had Tzumi Rabbana and some Chachamim, or Tamanei Chachamim, who were particular to make Havdalah on the course. He was one of those guys. So what's the story? Right? So if he's a Torah, you know that the guy's going to make Havdalah on the course, so you don't have to bury the money straight off the Shabbos. Why? Because the guy might need money and quickly running back. Just before you go and bury that money, just give me a bit of money and you go buy some wine for Havdalah. Right? So then you can now, says the guy, look at this. Yeah, daddy. Va'idna deshchichei gshushai. And now she is Megashashin Bakarka Bashipodim Shabaz. The guys are walking around with skewers, digging their sticks into the ground, checking for them for buried money. And then Shmira Ede Bashmea Korah. Now you don't bury the money in the ground anymore, you put in your roof rafters. And what says, Vaida, however, nowadays, Teshchiche Fromai, now you've got guys, Rashi says, Shovrayat, guys who go around breaking ceilings, ceiling boards, triumph, and they don't mind hitting, they go breaking the ceiling boards. And Lem Shmira Ede Bene Urvi. Now you don't put your money there, you put it in between the wall, between the tile, between the bricks. So it depends over time, right, where the safe place would be to keep your money. And Rabbi says that Shmuel himself would agree that in the kotel, right, and there's a Mishra Shasa over here which takes out this, the Maharshal takes out the, but it's worth reading it, Inami Baina Karnot, right, so you can put it like not dafka between the bricks, maybe in the corners or between the bricks or in the walls. And now says the Gemara, now there's with tapuchai, metapchim bakota, the people who go around knocking on the walls, see if they holler, see if money's saved there. And then shmirat, but tefach asmuch lekarka or tefach asmuch leshmeyakura. Now you're going to bury it in the lower tefach of the floor, or the high tefach that's not in the middle of the wall, people think it's middle of the wall, that's not a good place to save it. Okay, so a safe's probably the better place. He says, now we're talking about burying the sand, the money in the ground. So he says, now we know, he says, Rav Achi to Rav Ashi Yosef. Rav Achi b'Ed Rav Yosef, says Rav Ashi. Hatameh Masechet Psachim, we learned. Nan, coming up now, Pesach, it's good chazor, right? Nan, chametz nafla la mapolet, if a big pile of gravel fell in a big, on chometz, so arehu kamu mevoah, that's called biur chametz. You don't have to worry about that. It was a big pile. Rashbag omer, kol she'en akel yachol lechapes acharav. Rashbag adds on that, right, as long as the dog can't find it. And there we asked, right? The Tana Kama Chavisata Kedev, in terms of Rashbag explaining. I suppose you could say, don't machloket Tana Kama Rashbag. Just Rashbag might be explaining Tana Kama, it doesn't matter. But according to Rashbag, when it's this pile and the dog can't get it, how big does the pile have to be that the dog won't get it? He says three tvachim. My guys, that's about, 25 centimeters. So the question is, here, nahacha, mishum ichsuye me'ena, lo ba'ina gimel tvachim. So, but it seems obvious, you don't need three tvachim to just hide it from a good criminal. Because you just hide it, they can't see it. So, how deep should it be in the wall or in the ground or whatever? Rav from Sichra said a tefach. Okay, so there's your answer. So you want to bury the money, you have to dig it deep. Because the idea is just to hide it. All you're really doing is keeping it in a place where a person wouldn't think that there'd be money there, and you're securing the money. That's really the objective of the hiding. So you need a tefach. The Gemara says the story, Yahu gavre de afkiz uzei gabe chavrei. Right? I mean, we've seen this before as well, this Gemara. So he says, he gave money to a friend to look after him, or tvina betzrifet de urbani. And the guy put it in a trif de urbani. Rashi says, yeah, trif de urbani is a little house. A little round house, come in cover like a hat, like you saw inside or foot like roof. Hunters who are gonna hunt birds. They, you know, if you ever go to a game reserve and you've got these like lookouts. You have these like lookouts where you can go to, that sort of idea, right? Where the birds can't, animals can't see you. And what happened? He stuck the money there, but ignored when it got stolen. So Amar Rav Yosef, Afa Gav Inyan Ganvei Neturatehi, said, even though from a pure stealing point perspective, right? Is this considered a safe place to hide money? Yes. Because people don't think you're going to hide money in one of these little bird houses in the middle of the field. However, he says, the Inyan Nura Pshiuti, it's a place which is easily flammable. Why? Because what they're made from, Rashi says, yeah, Durbani Shul Arava, they're made from willow. So they're made from reeds. So it's flammable. So even though it's not from a hiding point of view, it's a good hideout. But let's be honest, it's a good burn. I suppose if it's paper money, it's going to get burned to smithereens. Even if it's steel money, so it's going to lose its shape and everything. So therefore, the Gemara says, we've got a case now. Remember that machloket. You start off as a poshaya, and in the end, really, the damage wasn't because of your being a poshaya, it was because of ones. However, is a machloket. Chayev, maybe you should be chayev. He could army alpha gavdinyan nurip shutahi, yan gavdinyan with tchatov b'shev, so bonus patru. So we got a machloket. What is it? Are you tchatov b'shev, so patru, or machayev, the gomor pas nalocha, the hilchatet, tchatov b'shev, so bonus chayev. So that's why we put the money in place. Okay, even though it never got burnt, it got stolen, you still be chayev because the fact that you were a poshay in the first place and never took so much precaution, in the end, when the damage came, even though it didn't come as a result of your negligence, you are still chai. Another story which we saw as well in the Gemara coming up. A person who deposited money with a friend. Amale, how did he came back and said, give me my money. So Amale said to him, lo yadana, I don't know where I put it. Remember this Gemara? Atle kame de Rava. And Rava said, Amale, where's it from? Yud, we saw as well. Also, daflam and hey, we saw it already. Call lo yadana. Any time a person says lo yadana, pshiyutehi zil shalim. That means you were negligent, you don't know where it was. Right, go and pay. Okay, so the Gemara is basically like wrapping up a couple of halachos which we've already seen along the way, and this is really the source of all those which we quoted earlier. Another case, third case, who gathered afkiz uzei gabe chavrei? A person left money with his friend. Ashalminu le'eme. In the meantime, the friend asked his mother to look after it for him. Remember the Mishnah, the very first look at the Mishnah at the top of the Amud there? Amafkid mar etzel chavero. Saran Vishtan Lachorav, Oshe Masram Lebeno Ulubito Akhtanim. Instead, he gave it to his little kids. And we learned this bright a couple of daf ago on Lamed Vav, where there he was Chayav, and if he gave it to his wife or to his older kids, he was Patu, remember? And we said, why? Because when you give something to a person, you give it to him knowing that he's going to give it, he's going to include his wife and older children in the party as well. So now we'll see in a moment, we'll look at this, that there's a bit of an expansion on that. So now, Ashrim Leeme gave it to his mother. Rashi says, Basra Nemo. Vodvinu Bekartalita. And where did she put it? Rashi says, in Argaz. She put it in a box. And Ashkara in Loazia. Rashi, yeah, it was a box. Puts it in a box. Right? The Ignuv, and it gets stolen. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi has to now start discussing what's happening over here. How do we deal with this? Hey, chinah, dainu deyane lahaydina. How do we judge this scenario? Name le didei zil shalim. If I say to the guy, the nifkad, the guy who brought it to and gave it to him, right? Look at Rashi, the shomer shem asar, the shomer chayiv. Because at the end of the day, a shomer who gives to another shomer, he learned the other day. If a shomer gave it to you and you gave it to somebody else, you chayiv. Why? Because the guy could say to you, I trusted you, or I was happy for you to make a shvuah. I didn't trust him. I didn't want him to make a shvuah. Remember those? We saw those two opinions. So he gave it to somebody else. Who's other somebody else? His mother. So maybe he should be chayiv. On the other hand, right, name a didei, zil shalem, therefore go pay. On the other hand, Amar, we said, kol mafkid al dat ishto vanavu mafkid. So, on the other hand, Rashi, kol al dat shelo yesh shomer nina minumusan anche beito. Rashi expands the wife and children to be his household. Anche beito agdolim v'ne'emanim lo hu de mafkid. Look at Rabbi Chanan there for a second. Even if you don't normally follow, we come at the end of the page. Look at Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan over here about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 lines. It says, he can't say I wasn't happy for being somebody else. Why? The Kaimanak has really learned, kol ha-mafkid, al dat ishto ubenohu mafkid. He gives it with the intent of including the guy's wife and older children who mafkid. Ve'imo chayotze bahin. Right, and the Rabbi Chanan says his mother's part of them. If you include your wife and the older children, the mother's part of that same package deal. The mother had to make a shua. Right, that she lost. It says Rabbi Chanan. So anyhow, so that's our question here. Rabbi's busy deciding how we're going to deal with this. If we tell him to pay, he said, what do you want? Everything gave to Shomer, but at the end of the day, his mother's included in this whole package. So now, if he says to the mother, go pay, you're responsible, right? Because you didn't bury it in the ground, says Rashi. What did the mother say? I never knew it wasn't my son's. I thought it was my son's. My son's, I was going to bury my son's money. It was the third party, and I said, I thought it was my son's money. That's why they didn't bury it. So name a lay if on the other hand we say to him, Amailo Amartla, why did you tell him that it wasn't your money? So what would he say? Amar Koshekain, I thought of the contrary. Dechi amina la didi ninutfe muzardaba. If she knew it was mine, if you thought it was mine, she'd have gone even more than some stranger. And who does your mother love more than you? Anybody else more than you? Obviously not. So he said, that's why I didn't tell her. I wanted her to have a higher level of thinking it was mine. Said Amarava, so what's the baskana? Mishtaba iu de henuzuze ashtaminu. Ame first he makes a shvur, he gave it to his mother. Umishtaba ame de henuzuze utvinu bekartina beignov. And then patch the both patur. Okay, everybody with me? Yes? Okay. Ahu apotropa. Now there's like what do you call an apotropos in English? I never think of a good word. I think of a good word like
it is an apotropos.
An apotropos is like what? Like executor. Okay, executor. That's a good one. Okay. So it's like executor of these orphans. The Zabe now totally at me. He went and bought an ox for the orphans. Umashre le bakra. Le bakara. How do you pronounce the word? A bakra. Like a boker. You know in Hebrew, a boker is a cowboy. Right? So he gave it to the bakra, to the shepherd, to the guy to look after. And lo havulei, listen to this, lo havulei kachay v'shinei l'meichel v'et. It turns out that the ox never had teeth, never had molars or whatever you call those grinding teeth. And he couldn't eat, he couldn't grind the food, and therefore he couldn't eat. He died. So Amar, molars, pre-molars. So Amar Rabbi Barachama, so Rabbi Barachama says, now he has to deliberate. How are we going to deal, what do we deal with this case? Obviously they came to Rabbi Barachama. He says, how do we deal with this? Name the apotropos. We say to the what do you call apotropos, daddy? To the executor. We say to the executor, Zil Shalim. So I said, what do you want me? Anlebakra Masada. I hand it over to the shepherd, to the Anlebakra Masada. Hayalol Hodian Sherochel, right, the first third line's the top there. He says, it was his job to tell me the guy's got no food, can't eat. Name a la bakri, if you say to the shepherd, Zil Shav, you gotta pay, you're responsible. I'm always gonna say to me, Amar Bahare Ture or Kimte. I stack it with all my other sheep, my other animals. And Uchle Shaddai, I threw him food. And Lavi Adalid, Loacha, I never knew there was anything. Right? So now the Gemara says, like this. Look, ready? Bottom line, at the end of the day, what's going on over here? Michti Bakra, Shomer Sachadi Atmehu, Iba Leiliuni. He says, but at the end of the day, this shepherd is a Shomer Sachar of the Yatomim. So he should be checking. Look at Rashi, Iba Leiliuni, Imo Charim Lab. What do you mean I gave him food and I didn't know? Yeah, you charge these animals, make sure they're eating. So the Gemara says, one second. You know what? If there was damage at the end of the day, if the orphan suffered, I don't understand what this whole deliberation is about. But it appears that the orphans didn't really suffer. Why not? That's what he says. V'achav maskinam. What the lekep said it yet? There wasn't really any loss to them. Why? Ashkachu lemare de Torah. They found the guy who sold the animal. Look at Rashi. Ashkachu lemare de Torah. Hamocher. They found the mocher. V'shakul yat b'zuv, and the orphans took their money back. I said, Mister, this is a mekach taut. Look at Rashi. Amrele, mekach tautu. Will you sell me an ox without teeth? What are you, an ox, right? What are you, you're a cow? What are you, stupid, a monkey? Ella, so the Gemara said, wait a second. But now we've got a problem. Because if the orphans never suffered, because they found the guy who sold it to them and he compensated them, so what was this whole dilemma over here? Rabbi Bar Chaim to say, how do we judge the story? Who went to Beit Din? The day Rabbi Bar Chaim got involved in the first place. So the Gemara says, Elaman Katayin. Who went to Beit Din? Look at Rashi. Elaman Katayin. Mitoveya klum de kamar. Rabbi Bar Chaim, how do we judge? So the Gemara says, that is interesting. Who went to Beit Din? Mare the Torah Katayin. The seller himself. Look at Rashi, married the Torah Ketayin, the guy who sold it. V'shoel shemeita b'emto etzlecha v'toveya et apotropos. He goes, the seller says, you apotropos, I'm not arguing that I sold you the animal, but you apotropos, what do you mean you just took an animal and handed it over to a bakar and you didn't look out for the orphans and see what was going on? He's the one that's complaining. He wants compensation of the apotropos. So he says, like this, Mare the Torah Ketayin, Ibai Leilo Doa, and you should have told us. So now the Gemara says, I don't understand. My Modiane, what should he have told the guy? Made it, Yadda, Demek Achtautave. Why would the apotropos even care? He knows at the end of the day, he's going to get his money back from this guy. So I must go tell him that the animal's going, oh, I want my money back. You sold me the animal. He's not responsible to the seller. He's responsible to the Atomim. Right? So the Gemara says, no. Besafsira. The guy who sold it wasn't really a farmer. He wasn't growing cows or growing oxen. They understood animals. This was a trader. This guy was taking a chance. He bought for one and sold for two. He bought the ox in the morning and sold it in the afternoon. He didn't even look in his teeth, in his mouth and see how many teeth it's got. He saw an ox for going for cheap and he bought it and he sold it for a bit of a profit and moved on. And now we know why it was going for cheap, right? Because it never had teeth. But he never knew that. The guy we're talking about is a safsira, a safsar. Today in Hebrew, the safsar is like a pimp. That's the word for a safsar. But look in Rashi, he says, he's a guy who goes to the market, he buys in the morning, he sells in the afternoon, he doesn't even keep it for one day. Just in and out, just a trader. Look at the Zabi Mehacha, Mezabi Nacha, he bought ya and sold ya. Hilchach. So therefore, right? It's therefore the Gemara is like this. Hilchach, Mishtabe Ihu, to lo have a yada. The Safsar, the trader to make a shwil that he never knew. That it was that this was the case. Look at Rashi. Mishtabe safshir dlo aviyada. Actually, the Gemara says aviyada on Rashi. It's obviously entry off Rashi. Umeshalem bakara demei basar bezor. How's that? And the shepherd has to actually pay him. He has to pay the safsar a cheap amount. It doesn't give him full compensation for the value of a proper ox, but he pays him for the meat at a cheaper value. Now, Rashi's got a lot to say about this. I went very quickly up until I was ready. This is the heart of the daf. Look at this Rashi. Now again, please, even though some of you I see are busy doing other things, open up the Rashi and look at the Rashi. This is important, important Rashi. Okay, follow the Rashi. The Rashi of Yah starts Umashalim Bakara. This is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 10 lines into the narrow lines of Rashi. He says, V'tamia ani. Rashi says, I'm confused. Minayin Rabbi Bar Chama din zeh. Where Rabbi Bar Chama get din like this? That the trader makes a shvua that he never knew that it had no teeth to the shepherd, and the shepherd has to pay the trader. What's the shepherd got to do with the trader? The shepherd got the animal from who? From the apotropos. The apotropos bought on the trader. There's no connection between the trader and the shepherd. You understand Rashi's question? Right? Look at Rashi. It's my law le safsira imaroe. What's the connection between the shepherd and the trader? Lo shomer shlohu. The shepherd wasn't his shomer. Venireli de matni. Rashi says, seems like our Mishnah, which we learned, daf lamed hay amud bet. We spoke there about, there's a bit of a bach change here. Da socher, a guy who rented something. He rented a paramecha from his friend. Veheshilach, remember we had in the Mishnah that a guy rented a cow from his friend and then lent it to somebody else. Umeitekadarka, this is the Rabbi, we had a discussion about Meitekadarka and Ones, was exactly that sugya, right? The Kama Rabbi Yossi says, Yachzir para lebali. At the end of the day, Tanakama said that what happens, it died with the shoel. The shoel. The renter makes a shvua, the shoel makes a shvua, and the shoel pays the money to the renter, and the renter keeps the money, doesn't pay it back to the owner. Remember that what Tanakama said. Rabbi Yossi, what are you talking about? He's got to give the money back. She says, that's but now let's ask ourselves the same question. Why, in other words, who gives the money back, who gives the money to the owner, according to Rabbi Yossi? Doesn't have to give it to the guy rented him and then give back to the owner. He can go straight to the owner and give him back the money. Now again, you ask the other question, what's the connection between the owner and the guy who the renter lent it to? They don't even know each other, there's no connection. How come the money flows back to him? So that's what Rashi's going to use that example. He says, like this Rashi over here. This is a brilliant Rashi, this. He says, the Kama Yossi Yachzir Parle Bali, Vokimna, Halachak Rabbi Yossi, Rochlak Rabbi Yossi, Alma, Afa Pisha Ena Bali, and Bale Dreim Shel Shoel. Even though the owners of the animal originally who rented it to a guy, they've got no business dealings with the guy who borrowed it from the renter. Already, who's the guy that they're going to deal with? The guy in the middle who knows them both. The guy in the middle is patron. He's out the picture. In other words, he's patron, so he steps back. And who pays now? The shoel pays. And who gets the money? The baalim get the money. So she says, so to have the afilu achi hoil v'yesh lo din ala shoel ligvot yamdu abaalim rishonim bimkomo. The Gumin Ashur. So in that case there in Lamed Hay, the renter steps back and the owners step in and they step in place of the renter, and now it's as if they were the ones that lent it to the guy in the first place, so to speak. Hachinam Rashi, so too this was happening in our Gemara over here. Hoyel v'yeshli yatomim ligvot min haroe. Since who's meant to get the money from the shepherd? The orphans. Now the apotropos represents them, right? Shu shomer sachar shlahem, because he's their paid custodian. So now, how come the safsar, the seller, the owner of the animal, gets the money from the shepherd? Yamdu balim bimkoma yatomim. The owner, being the guy who sold the cow, he now steps into the shoes of the children. They're going and gets the money. So now says Rashi like this: Umihu ihab mifsele yatomim. If the yatomim had really suffered a proper loss, so lo ayah osep psharab mamon yotomim the shalem bezol. We wouldn't have allowed the guy to get away with paying a cheaper amount to the yotomim, but he paid the full market value. The yakmei lav b'nei mechinin, because the yotomim haven't got the ability to be moichel. They can't forego you anything. Is the din? But achshav. But now it's not the children who are claiming the money, the yotomim. It's the rich, the guy who sold it, the trader who steps into their shoes. Shehu megavei lebali. The kan ein pshia kol kach. It's not such a massive pshia. Really. It's not massive negligence over here, right? Tama bahade torai or kimte, right? In other words, each person thinks that they did the right job. He til pshara with him. They did the pshara. V'lo yishalem called them ashor kamot shuachai. Because the seller says, "What do you want? I didn't even look. I didn't know." The shepherd said, "What do you want? I gave him food. I didn't look." So each one thinks they did the right job. So they compromise between them. He gives him back the hide. And the value of the meat, the dead meat, he pays him 2/3. Why 2/3? Because Rashi says, anytime we say in the Gemara, you pay the cheaper amount, call Zuz, anytime you give a Zuz, and Zuz is 6 ma'a, you pay 4/6. We'll see it coming up later. Okay? So that is an interesting story over here of how Rashi explains how come the Safsar claims money from the shepherd when they didn't even know each other, they had nothing to do with each other, they never knew each one existed. And now suddenly they became the Baalei Dinim of the shepherd. Another case of Yahu Gabri de Afkir Kshuta Gabri Chavre. The last case. A guy leaves Kshut, now Kshut hops, right? He leaves hops to the friend. And this guy, the Nifka, the guy's going to look after him. He himself also, they both, I suppose, they're from the same trade. They both make beer. The guy's going overseas. He takes all his last fresh picked hops. He steps over with his cat, with his carriage, his friend. He says, "Look after my hops for him, please." Meantime, this guy also has his whole thing of hops. Right? So now, our man who's looking after the stuff says to his sar, so here his sar, meaning Rashi, his beer maker, he says, "Mi hai Rami, bring me some hops from that pile." Azar Rami Midach, and he went from the other pile, took them from the pile he's supposed to be looking after. So Amram, and now obviously the guy comes back, the guy who left the hops with him, and there's hops missing or the hops are ruined, whatever the case was, and he's a bit upset, and it comes to a Beit Din. Says Rav Amram, what are we going to do? Name Leila did they? If I say to the guy, to the original person who we said who was supposed to look after him, he'll shalim go pay. So Amram, what's he going to say? Amar, Ana Amri Dei Miharami. What do you want from me? I told my worker to bring from this, from mine, not from that one. I'm not responsible. I did everything properly. So name Leila Sarah say. Zil says, well, maybe we should say to the worker, you got to pay. You acted against. Why didn't you from your bosses? Why did you go to the other guys? Pile, from your boss's pile. So Amari, see, and I said to the guy, "Listen, I don't understand. Lord, hear me. He never told me only from this way. He said, bring me hops." So I thought I could bring whoever I chose, whoever I wanted. So the Gemara now wants to understand what's going on in the rationale of the guy himself. He sent his worker to get the hops. Right? So he says, the Gemara, like, "E de shaha shiuli tuyele velo aitile." Look at Rashi over here. Look at the very first wide lines of Rashi. It says, so Gemara Parich Imaya Kerish Lo Karov. The understanding of Gemara at the moment is what would be if the guy's own pile was close to him. Vashel Pikadon, and the guy was asking him to look after a pile, that was stored quite a far way away. Vashaha Shaliach Shiur Malach Derech HaKarov Velo Aiti. And now he's waiting there. Let's say it takes 5 minutes to go to his own pile and pick up the hops. And it takes 20 minutes to go to the other pile to pick up the hops. He waits 5 minutes, the guy's not back. He waits 10 minutes, he's not back. 20 minutes, he comes back. Well, what should he be thinking? Obviously, he must have gone to walk to the other guy's pile and got the hops. And he never said to him, "Why are you bringing those hops?" So that's Gadi Date. He was happy. He didn't mind that you're using those hops. So it seems like the Balabait. Yeah, he's commiserating, right? He's complicit in the whole story. So he says, "Tashashu le tuyele velo aitele v'gayat nechele." So the Gemara says, no, but they're all shy. We're not talking about a case where he waited. He didn't wait. That happened straight away. That's not a possibility. The Gemara asked the question. Okay, well, fine. Okay, very good. So now it wasn't that possibility. And now, what do we really care? Sof, my pseide ikka. V'ha mishtar shele. What's the difference? So give the guy back from your pile of hops. So you used his hops. Give him your hops. Why aren't you giving him your hops? Now, the Gemara understands that you aren't giving him your hops. Because if you gave him your hops, he wouldn't have gone to Beit Din. Right? If he came back to him hops, you gave him his hops. Everybody would be hoppy-dory. Nobody would be arguing. The fact he went to Beit Din and the Rav got involved there, Amram got involved, means he didn't. So the Gemara says like this. So look at Rashi. So Gemara says, no. What happened over here? Amar Rav. So two answers. Bread Rava, Tave Shikra Chala. It seems like this guy's beer went bad. Hichmitz. So he's probably blaming the guy now. This is my interpretation, by the way. He's blaming the guy now that his hops were bad hops and his beer went bad because of the guy's hops. He doesn't compensate him because he never benefited. Now, you see, I'll get that from the Rashi, from the Rebbeinu Chanan and Rashi, the next Rashi in a moment. Answer number two is, Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi Amar, Bekise, right? He says, Avia Bekise. What are Bekise? Rashi Avia Bekise. She'ata Kishut, the Bach changes it slightly and says, She'ata Kishut Zro'a Bekotzim Vekotzim Ravin. It was grown in a place of a thorny place, and his hops were full of thorns. So I'm not going to give him back my hops. My hops are perfectly good hops. Those are thorny hops. He didn't want to give him back. So the question is, how does he compensate him? Look at the Rebbeinu Chananel over here. Rebbeinu Chananel says, it's over the page. Look at the Rebbeinu Chananel over the page. Says here, the mishtar shleve, I have a chala, velo ishtar shele, midi, mishalem le demei kise. What does it mean? Paying the value of the bad ones. Perush, kise kshuta, she'ena metukenet sh'adayin shriche tikkun. He has to pay. There's no question he's got to compensate him. The simplest compensation would have been for his giving back his hops. He doesn't want to give back his hops because these hops are inferior to his. Either they cause the beer to go bad or they're full of thorns. So the question is, what do you pay him? He basically has to pay him the value of the cheaper. When Rashi Avi as well says, bad for him that he stuck these in them. So basically, he has to compensate him, but he compensates him a lesser amount. We'll end off over here, and please God, we will carry on with the new Mishnah tomorrow.